You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Wow, gosh. Don't you love being in a space of faith? Hey, Michael. Hi, Nadia. I was telling Mark you guys would be here, so we'll catch up later. But you know, when I sit in that worship, make room, what a song. We're going to do that at the end of the service as well. So get ready to make room, hey. It challenged me when it said, break down the walls of tradition, break down the walls of religion. Because they're precious to us. Some of those things that we've held on to for 30 or 40 or 50 years, some of them feel so comfortable and precious. But what if God broke them apart? What if he actually said, that's not for the future, that was the past? So I was worshiping today going, wow, what do I have to break down that I don't even know is a wall? And I wonder for you too what God's going to do. Thank you, Dexter, for including grandmas in your women, because I have an 18-month-old granddaughter. I was a grandma last time I came here, but it wasn't the focus of the day. But I thought the best thing that I could do would be let my daughter-in-law have a sleep in this morning. So I'm like, we'll have Zoe overnight. Like, let her sleep the night. And she wakes up at 7 a.m. every morning. It's easy. Yeah, except for today. So I kind of said to Mark, my husband, you know, I'm going to go to bed early, which for me was like 8 o'clock last night, asleep by 9 just in case. 4:30. I'm like, it can't be Zoe. She never wakes up at 4:30. It was. So I go in and it's the dummy thing. But how the heck do you find a dummy in the dark? I'm like searching around and she's just looking at me. I'm like, close your eyes. Anyway, found the dummy. Sing her a little song. Pat her, please, Jesus. Go back to bed. Well, I was up then. So you're going to have a great message this morning because I've practiced it 25 times. But then at 6:10, I hear her again. And I'm like, just get the dummy and stick that thing. I go in there. She's standing up in her cot. She looks at me and goes, I'm like, all right, come on, it's dance time now. Now, I'm just going to say I'm not a morning person. My husband's never really seen this before about 8 o'clock in the morning. He comes down at 6:30. We're playing soccer in the lounge room, Zoe and I. He's like, what are you doing? I went, she's dancing at 10 past 6, so I'm up there, you know. It's just a privilege to be in all these stages of life. Today we'll celebrate from little Zoe to my mum and dad are here today. Dad celebrated his 85th birthday last week, and it's a privilege for us to have them with us. We'll go out for lunch and all the generations in the middle, and my husband's here, Mark, which is great. Last time I came here before Christmas, I had such a good time. I'm like, you have to come with me next time. This church rocks. It's awesome. So he's here today. Dad sent me a message that he'd preached on Mother's Day years ago. He's been a pastor all of his life. I don't think you ever retire from being a pastor. And I got one of these little nuggets out of his sermon, so I'm stealing it for today, okay? He does this quote, if you want to find greatness, don't go to the throne, go to the cradle. There's mighty power in a mother. She is the one who molds hearts, lives, and shapes character. And I thought that was so relevant today for us. And I know family relationships are not always easy. We've had our ups and downs over many years. And if today is a bit of a tough day for you, then hang in there and celebrate just who God's created you to be. And I think God wants to touch your life in a really special way this morning. The last year has just been incredibly challenging for most of us. We live on the knife edge of, do we lock down, do we not? Do we wear masks? No, this morning, how good is that? I'd love to see your smiles, otherwise it'd be this wall of just material facing back at you. And, you know, I'm usually out traveling around nationally, internationally. I love that kind of part of my life, but from February last year, I've not been on an aeroplane. And last year, I remember when everything locked down, thinking, well, God, what do I do if I'm not out and about? And if my wings are kind of clipped, and I had no idea what the following year would hold. I wrote down a few of the things. I was about to have a job change, which I was unaware of because of COVID, and to take on a new CEO role with a leadership network. I was about to start an international ministry with the Baptist World Alliance that I didn't know needed a lot of administration and restructure, and not me flying around the world. My husband was about to change roles. Mark's moved from the state leader of West Australian Baptist to now being the Australian national leader. Who knew that was coming? My two nieces got married. I had to marry one of them within 3 days just because of COVID. My son and daughter-in-law and little Zoe came to live with us for 3 months when they needed somewhere to stay. We've had health challenges. My father-in-law passed away in November. The list goes on. Who would have known? I had the year planned. In fact, I had 9 flights I still have in credit, all ready to go. Yet God's like, you got some stuff to do at home. Sometimes it's easy to love in large spaces, in great spaces, in exciting spaces, in new spaces. But what about when everything changes and all your plans are disrupted? What about when people aren't as easy to love as you would wish they were? What about when people aren't as easy to get on with as you would hope they would be? How do you love then? And what do you do then? Well, I go back to truth. For me, the ultimate truth is the Word of God. The ultimate truth is Scripture. And the ultimate truth is the voice of the shepherd. You know, John says that Jesus knows his sheep and they know him. In fact, the sheep know him so well they know his voice. I have no idea what I would do without the whisper of the shepherd in my everyday, in my every hour of every day. And that's where my truth comes from. In Scripture, I have some favorites. I'm sure you do too. Here's one of them, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory. I love living that life, exceedingly abundantly beyond anything I could think of. God can do more. That's a truth I hold on to every single day. Here's another one, Psalm 5. Let us who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praise forever. Spread your protection over them, that all who love your name, well, it doesn't say will be healed and delivered. It just said will be filled with joy. I have so many friends in other nations right now who are suffering so greatly under the pandemic. And my daily prayer is that God would deliver them from it, but even more so that his grace would fill them with joy amidst it. At 4:30 this morning, I figured I wasn't awake for no reason at all. And I checked my phone and there was a WhatsApp message from some very dear friends in India, in Hyderabad, crying out for help as the pandemic is locking down their nation in the hundreds of thousands every day. And one of my friend's brothers had passed away and his wife and 3 children are left. And Lord, would you fill them with your grace? Would you fill them with your peace? Would you fill them with your joy? And protect them. We praise you. Different kind of praising to the excited and celebration praise, but it's a very rich praise. And I'm just going to throw in Proverbs because I love this. Proverbs 31, she is clothed in strength and dignity, laughs without fear of the future. What is the future? I have no idea. And it's probably more so today than even a year ago. I actually have no idea. But I don't laugh hysterically. I actually laugh with confidence, going, I know who's in my future, so I stand in confidence in it and unafraid. So how do we live that journey when the journey is different to what we had thought it would be? And this day when particularly we're celebrating women, aunties, daughters, sisters, mothers. There's 2 things I want you to take away today. Firstly, we have to nurture a healthy heart. And then secondly, we have to live beyond ourselves. But let's look at the first one. How do we nurture a healthy heart? Well, Romans 12:9 says this. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. You could just think about that for a minute. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Sometimes our love can be conditional. Sometimes people are just easy to love. Don't you think Ben's easy to love? He just kind of like greets you. You haven't even got to the top step and he's there. And then the coffee's in the hand and the generosity of spirit. I love people who give me presents, who say nice things, who do all the jobs around the house, who take me out for Mother's Day. Mark, I love you. They're easy to love, but what do you do with people who aren't quite easy to love? And what do you do when that love is not felt all the time? Mark and I have been married for 36 years. He knows I'm about to say what I'm about to say, so don't panic. I just said to him, I don't normally tell this story when you're in the room, so this is a moment for us. But 36 years, and I would like to say every single moment of those 36 years has been amazing. But that would be a lie. Anyone else married in this room? Come on, all you married people, put your hands up. Keep your hand up if every single moment of your marriage has been unbelievably amazing. Wow. Well, Dexter, it's because your wife finally made you something you like. That was yesterday. I can't even pronounce it, but well done. I think you were very wise waiting 5 years. Because if you'd done it in the first week, look what he would have expected every weekend. So 5 years, and in 5 more years, you'll get the next dish, okay? All right. You know, Mark and I went through a season of about 18 months where, you know, those things that happen and you just put them on the shelf. They're not so big that you actually have to feel like you want to deal with it. You stick it on the shelf. Then you put another one on the shelf. Then you put another one on the shelf. Life gets busy. Kids come along. Struggles happen. That shelf gets so heavy and laden down. And we got to that stage. And the communication wasn't great. I'm not sure if I felt like I loved him in that season. We hit a wall. I remember we went to get some counselling, and I remember thinking, I'm not sure we're going to make it through this. Seriously. It was a crisis in our marriage and a crisis in our life. And, you know, I was struggling to actually feel or even act in a loving way. I know you might find that hard to believe, but it was. And it was my dad, actually. We went for a train trip to Mandurah. Kind of the most boring day ever, but he asked me to go with him, and I'm like, well, okay, we'll go to Mandurah. And we're coming back on the train, and he looks at me and goes, so how are you going with Mark? I said, well, I don't know. I don't really feel anything. And he goes, you just need to pull your head in. That's what he said to me. I mean, I'm a grown woman with children in leadership, and my father tells me to pull my head in. And he said, you have to change your attitude. It's not how you feel, it's a decision. Well, I was so indignant, got off the train, and it was only a few weeks later Mark and I decided to just go on a trip together. We're in the rebuilding phase. That's a tough phase, hey. Anyway, we went to Geraldton in a caravan. Kind of, now he knows if you want to rebuild, take me to, you know, the Sheraton or something. But anyway, we went to the caravan park in Geraldton, and I remember us putting up the caravan, popping it out and getting it set up. And then we just went for a walk on the beach. It was blowing a gale. And as we're walking along, I was struggling with this whole idea of loving him and listening to my father's words echoing. And as we're walking along, somewhere that looked like this, there was these little sand hills. And I remember that shepherd I told you about. He whispered to me and said, stand on a little sand hill and tell Mark you love him. Now, I know it was my shepherd because ever since Mark and I were dating at 18, he's a lot taller than I am. And so it was just a fun thing, and we do it to this day. I jump on a step somewhere and then we can kiss face to face because he's just taller. So I'm like, Jesus knew that. Hop on a sandhill face to face and tell him you love him. Now, do you know how hard it was to do that? It was like the universe was crackling. And we're coming closer and closer to these little sandhills, and I'm like, I could choose. Life, death, you choose. And as we got closer, something in me just stopped, and we were walking a little way apart. Wasn't this like romantic hand-holding walk on the sand? And I'd hopped onto this sandhill. I remember turning to Mark and asking him to stop. He's like, what's the matter? And to get those words out was such a hard thing. But I turned to him and I just said, I love you. At which point we both just fell to our knees and burst into tears and held each other. And it began that season of healing for us. But the choice or not, I often wonder, what if I hadn't? There were about half a dozen of those along that journey, weren't there, that we both chose. And if we didn't choose life, didn't choose to love extravagantly, I don't know where we'd be today. I wouldn't be here. We had to get rid of some stuff from our lives to love in this way. We have to clear our heart of manipulation, I've written here, the words that we speak to just try and get our own way, to get rid of bitterness, to let go of hurts that have been on that shelf for way too long, let go of resentment and jealousy of others, let go of fear that's crippling us and holding us back, insecurities, feeling like we just don't measure up. We've got to let it go. Funny quick story, I have a sister-in-law who's like the perfect Betty Crocker mother. She waits at the door, I'm sure, for her children from school with warm cookies on a tray. And she has a frilly apron and lipstick and her hair done, like she's that mother. She was coming to stay at our house. Now, Kim's pantry is labelled, everything's labelled. I think it's even in escalating heights and colours and... So I was on a frenzy. I'm like, my house has to be like that. I'm cleaning. Clean your bedroom. Do this. Don't. I mean, you know, till finally my family looked at me and goes, what are you doing? Auntie Kim's coming. Now, they'd like, stop what you're doing. And I stopped and looked at myself, grateful that my pantry was now labelled and my house was clean. But I thought, she is the nicest person you'll ever meet on this planet. She won't even notice if my pantry's labelled. If you met her today, you'd think just butter melts in her mouth. That's even worse. She's the perfect mother and the perfect person. But it was all about me and my insecurity. Like, lay it down. And I found this scripture which jumps out at me. I don't know if it jumps out at you. The writer of Hebrews says this. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily entraps us. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So personal. What are the things that trap you? What are the things that weigh you down? You have to strip them off. Hey, how you doing? You right there? All right, cool. Lay them down, strip them off, and then let them go. There's this saying, you know, when you have the choice to choose right or kind, choose kind. Don't choose to be right. Romans tells us that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. All right, secondly, to live beyond ourselves. You know, with things that are happening all over our world, our attention in Perth, everyone, should be on the world, not on paradise that we live in here. We should care. We should give. We should sacrifice for those who are under such duress. Loving extravagantly is going to require extravagant faith. Living beyond constraints, believing that God is on our side. And Ephesians 3, all things are possible. Beyond what we could imagine. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends, said Jesus' follower John. And we're never really tested on that. But I wonder if we would actually live in that way. You know, when I was working for Transform Aid International, a few years ago I went to Nepal and they had just had the earthquake there in Kathmandu. Cities were devastated. Tens of thousands left homeless. Whole buildings had been flattened. Like the one behind me, mountainside and rural areas had been completely changed. The whole area moved 7 meters, the whole country. So where once there were rivers, they had now been blocked. Where there weren't, they are now rushing waters across farmlands. Everything shifted. There are 2 villages on either side of a mountain, and they had a path like this that goes down between the villages, and that was shaken off the side of the mountain. This path was the connection between the 2 villages for children to go to school, for people to go to market, and basically they had no way of their livelihood continuing. So this group of women decided to do something about it. Often we can pray, often we can give, but very seldom do people get involved. I love that on Monday nights you're down at Wellington Square, getting involved, Jesus with skin on, reaching out to people. Well done. That's great. These women did the same thing. They could do something. So stone by stone, they rebuilt the path. And our team went to that path and we walked all the way down and all the way up. And we saw the work they did, which was phenomenal. It took them months. But just 100 women from 2 villages joining together to say, we can make a difference. Their first task was to remove the bodies from the hillside that had been killed in the actual landslides and in the earthquake. But every stone was a stone of love. Every stone was a sacrifice. Every stone was an extravagant gesture bringing life to the people that they belong to. God's got an assignment for each one of us, and it's big. I just kind of know after living this life for the last 50 years, nothing God does is insignificant. Do I hear an amen to that? Even though you may think it's the smallest gesture, it's so not. Because he has a giant world that needs giant faith to reach the millions. It matters. I don't know what is in the year to come for you, but it matters that you are filled with this extravagant love to take that in the assignment that he has for you. To live with a making room mentality. Whatever you want, I'll go. Whatever you want to do, do it. That takes faith. That's not for the faint-hearted, but I see a few hundred people here today who on Mother's Day morning have chosen to come and worship Almighty God, so I'm assuming you're filled with faith. I'm assuming you're ready and waiting for the assignment, because why else would you waste your morning here? Why else would you show up other than it's a great place to meet new people? But I don't know about you. I'm not really into biding my time and wasting space. I'm like, what if God has something just this afternoon for you? Those family gatherings you're having, take Jesus. Those places you're going to, take Jesus. Those moments you're afraid to step into, step in anyway and take Jesus. Your workplace that's not great because everyone's under stress, take Jesus there. Be the vessel that God wants you to be and accept the assignment that he has you to do. It can actually be that simple, yet it takes a lifetime to be outworked. You know, my prayer is that when I'm 85 years of age, I'm still rocking up at places like this to worship God. Ben met my parents this morning. He's like, we're a little bit loud, this church. My mum's like, we don't care. We're just here anyway. I'm like, yes, that's right. And I'm like, do you want earplugs? Do you want me to, you know, still here anyway. I'm going to be doing that. Hopefully you'll invite me back in 30 years and I'll have my Zimmer frame. You'll have a ramp and everyone will go, not her again, but, you know, still going, you know, going on the assignment. What if we stepped out of the realm of our own limitations and we stepped into the realm of God's possibilities? Come on. We step out of the realm of our own limitations and our smallness of thinking, and we step into the realm of God's possibilities as fathers, as mothers, as workers, as grandmothers, as aunties, as fathers, as sons, men, women, standing strong in the possibilities of God. No matter what the circumstances, whether we're traveling or not, whether we're still online for 5 more years or not, whatever the constraints, they don't stop the possibilities of God. He's God. He's been there. He knows it. He's in our future. He sees it. He's all over this. So don't be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. As I was preparing, I sat down and wrote this. I sense in this moment, God's whispering exactly what would happen if we stepped out of our limitations and into his possibilities. These are some of the things. Lives that have shrunk will be enlarged. Hearts that have grown cold would be awakened. Depression would lift and faith would find its footing. Joy will return with praise on people's lips as they begin to proclaim what is truly possible. People's eyes would be lifted from their own circumstances and they would begin to see the world and relationships differently. The needs of others would rise in importance before the needs of ourselves. Conversations would change from what could I get to what could I give. You know, as the worship team comes on out, I want to sort of take this personal challenge, but Ben, when you were speaking this morning about your finances, I had a thought and then I left it. Normally with that shepherd voice, I'm like, well, if you want to remind me later, just bring it back. Rather than jump in unwisely. But honestly, my thought was there's a $100,000 donation somewhere to be given to this church. And as you're speaking about, you know, the incremental and even that $50,000 gift that came, I'm like, there's just somewhere that someone has $100,000 to give. And I don't know how that happens. But that's the impossible that God is able to do. Or we've got our own limitations. You can't say that because everyone's strapped and fine. Well, we're not really in Perth, but mostly all the limitations. Well, the realm of God's possibilities is way beyond that. We just got to live this way. When you do, doesn't matter if it's 4:30 in the morning, you just celebrate a little life and you love her anyway, kind of. When you stand on this side in God's possibilities, you find energy to get up in the morning, even though it's another day in the home office with 5 more Zoom meetings. You just put to death the flesh and you live in the spirit. When you live in the realm of God's possibilities, you have the confidence to say the words you probably wouldn't have said if you didn't have his strength. You say, I love you when you need to. You say, I forgive you when you need to. You say, I'm here, do whatever you want to do on this side, not on that side. That side's small and that side's full of fear and that side is the religion, tradition, all that other stuff. This side is freedom. This side is the Spirit of God moving through you, and that's where I want to be, amen? You know, all that God says is love the people I've given you and love me. It's kind of as easy as life has to be. So this Mother's Day, this day where we celebrate women all over this planet, what if we just love people better? In fact, love them as we love ourselves, Scripture says. And then what if we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength and put him first? Loving extravagantly, nurturing a healthy heart and living beyond ourselves and just loving God, you know, so that when we're lonely, God would step in and fill that space. When we're hurting, God brings grace to forgive. When we're wounded, he brings healing. And when we're in despair, he fills us with hope. Why don't we all just stand this morning? We're going to sing that song, Make Room. For me, it's a way of consecrating myself today. I love these special occasions. I got to come at Christmas last year. I'm like, how good is Christmas? You get to just mark the moment. I'll always remember the first time I preached at Sunlight. Mother's Day is kind of similar. The whole world is having Mother's Day today. Half the population, if not more, in many, many countries who are oppressed and suppressed, who are persecuted women, God's like, set them free. Let them rise. Tell them I love them. Tell them I have an assignment for them. They're not less, they're more because of me. Tell them they're beloved by their Father and their Savior, Jesus. Tell them the Spirit of God is going to move within them. Tell them nothing is impossible if they put their faith in me. Tell them I can do immeasurably more than they could ever hope or imagine or think. Tell them to look at the future and not be afraid, but laugh without fear because I'm in their future. Tell them to praise even when times are tough. Tell them to praise so they're filled with joy. Joy despite their circumstances. And I will be with them. Tell them that. Tell that to the women of the world. And then stand them alongside the men, and I have the army ready, together, in strength, as I planned it right from the beginning. Come on, it's time to rise. It's time to stand. It's time to be filled. I'm going to pray right now that the Spirit of God would fill this whole place with a greater measure of his love, extravagant love for every man, every woman, to go wherever he asks you to go, to do whatever he asks you to do, to be all he has created you to be. Father, in your name right now, we are making room for you. We're getting out of the way. The things we've held precious in the past are not necessarily the things of the future. So God, would you fill us afresh? Revive us with your love. Renew us by your Spirit. And would you pour love into us that is so overwhelming, it bubbles out to our neighbours, to this area of our city, to our families, to all of those, God, where Jesus, your light needs to shine. So we receive that in Jesus' name. We receive that deposit of your love. May this church be known as a church that loves deeply, that loves you, God, and that loves others. We praise you. We make room. We celebrate you. In Jesus' name, amen.